Rabbi Harlan, Rabbi Blau, Dr. Rothenberg, Rashi HaYeshiva, members of the administration and faculties of Yeshiva, students and guests. It is with a great deal of pleasure that I welcome you to this, the second of our series of Torah Umada lectures at Yeshiva. As director of Yeshiva's Torah Umada project, which is sponsoring tonight's shiur, and together with Dr. Daniel Rothenberg, the educational coordinator of the project, we'd like to express our profoundest hakaras hatov to Harav Soloveitchik for so graciously accepting our invitation to address us this evening. It is a great zechus for all of us to have this opportunity to hear from Harav Soloveitchik on a very important and a very timely subject. Dr. Rothenberg and I would also like to express our sincerest thanks to many of the deans, directors, and faculty members of Yeshiva with whom we have consulted and from whose advice we have benefited during these past few months, both at Yeshiva College as well as Stern College. In particular, we would like to thank Rabbi Yosef Blau, the Mashgiach Ruchani of Yeshiva, for his time and his support and his suggestions from the very outset of our project. As you well know, Rabbi Blau has distinguished himself at Yeshiva for his integrity, deep care and concern for the Talmidim, and his personal involvement with them on all levels. It is with great pleasure that I present Rabbi Blau to introduce Harav Soloveitchik, who will address us this evening on the subject Halachic Justification of Torah Umada as the Goal for Yeshiva University. Rabbi Blau.
Thank you, Rabbi Shachter. I personally appreciate the opportunity to introduce a Rebbe of mine, both as a student over a quarter of a century ago, when we learned Maseches Pesachim, and now. This is in part an expression of Hakaras HaTov for a talk given on my behalf upon leaving Chicago after 3 years working for and with Harav Soloveitchik. An introduction to an audience that came solely to hear a speaker is at best brief, if not superfluous. The limitation of mitzvah shvacha b'fanav, of only being permitted to say a portion of one's praise in his presence, coupled with the risk that anything omitted might chas v'shalom be misconstrued, makes the task somewhat problematic. Let me focus only on those qualities of Harav Aharon Soloveitchik that relate directly to this shiur. He is totally halachic, fearless, and possesses impeccable integrity. Everything he will say this evening represents his halachic analysis of this critical issue for us at Yeshiva and for the entire Jewish community. There'll be no apologetics, no catering to a particular audience. As his Talmidim have learned to expect, emes la'amito shel Torah, Morenu Rabbeinu Harav Aharon Soloveitchik.
topic of this lecture, as you all know, is halachic justification for Tol Mada as the goal for Yeshiva University. The pattern of this lecture this year will be different than the pattern of any other shiur that had delivered in the past. I decided that in view of the importance of this theme, Torah Mado, and also in view of the fact that the whole shiur will revolve around the Rambam, Rambam in the Chazoka, Rambam in the Shamishna, Rambam in the Chubes, Rambam in Shmini Prokim, it will revolve around the Rambam, that it will only be proper to conform to the pattern of the Rambam. The Rambam in his Yod Chazoka so adapted a very unique pattern. He has a preface, and then the preface consists of several elements. First of all, in the Hakdamah, the Rambam gives a whole account of the Maaseh of Torah Shebaal Peh, from Moshe Rabbeinu till Rav Ashi. Then he has an index. I think that the Rambam was the first one in the world to write an index of the Sefer. And he mentions in detail every halacha, what we need to discuss, what you see that here we discuss. And also, in a brief way, he mentions all the mitzvahs asay and all the mitzvahs leis asay discussed in the Chazoka, in Mishneh Torah. Then he starts Hilchas Yisidat Torah, but before he starts Hilchas Yisidat Torah, he has a short preamble. And the Rambam has a preamble before every halacha. And then at the end of the Yod Chazoka, he has an addendum. And it is interesting, the Rambam, even before the Hakdamah, he has a preamble. And then the Hakdamah. The preamble before the Hakdamah is the pasuk in Tehillim. Ozlei Beish Behabiti Al Kol Mitzvasecha. Then he starts the Hakdamah. Then the Sefer HaMitzvos, in a brief way. Then the index. He mentions in detail what halachas he said Hakeil discusses, what halachas Hilchas Deir discusses, what halachas Hilchas Talmud Torah discusses, and that he does with every halacha, all the Yudala sections. I think he's the first one in the world to write an index, because the Rambam was so organized. And then he starts Hilchas Yisidat Torah. But before he starts Hilchas Yisidat Torah, he has a brief preamble. What's the preamble? Also a pasuk. Mishei chaz dechol lidecho beitzitkos chol yish chaleif. And then Yisidat Torah and all the Yudala sections. That's why it's called the Yad HaChazoka. Then at the end, he has an addendum. Nishlim, Hilchas Melochi, Ve'imei Kol Achivu Kulei. Boruch She'omar, V'hoyo Eilom, Bitrotei Yobichlom. It's interesting. And the Rambam was such a diver. I mean, he counted every word that he wrote. So organized. So I think that it would be proper for me to conform in my own way. At Kanish at Kamosh Kirchi Magia to conform to the pattern of the Rebbe. Usually in a Yiddish Shia, this kind of Shia, so the first part is Aloche, the second part is Ashkofe. Now, because of the nature of the theme of the Shia, so the Shia itself will consist of a halachic analysis of the questions and the problems involved in Torah Madabot. It will be halachic, not ashkofe. But of course, the ashkofe, the aloche, will be intertwined with ashkofe. However, I think that I will say some thoughts of Ashkofe in the introduction. I'll conform to the pattern of the Rambam. So this also had a psiche, a preface, an introduction, then the text of the halachic analyses of the questions involved in the in Torah Madar as you go for Yeshiva University, and then there'll be again. I'll try to conform to the time limit of an hour and a half. And I will try to conform to the pattern of the Rambam, just as the Rambam, before he starts the text of Derech HaZokhar. So he writes an index, what he's going to discuss. I'll try first to mention in a brief way what I am going to discuss. Now, the halachic analyses will be considered from the point of view of five different perspectives. Perspective number one, the study of Madar as a supplement or complement to Torah can be justified on the basis of the fact that the study of Madar is necessary as a medium towards the attainment of Avas HaBeirei, love of God. That's perspective number one. Perspective number two, the study of Madar as a supplement or complement to Torah can be justified on the basis of the fact that the study of Madar is conducive to Yishuv Eilam or Yishuv Medina, as the Michilte Parshadoi calls it, or the upbuilding of the world. Perspective number three, the study of Madar as a supplement or complement to Torah can be justified on the basis of the fact that the study of Madar is necessary as a medium towards self-fulfillment. Perspective number two consists of the study of Madar as a medium towards the Yishuv Eilam. They are building the world. But perspective number three consists of the study of Madar as a medium towards self-fulfillment, not a building of the whole world, not a building of the whole all the people, but self-fulfillment, self-upbuilding. That's also important. Perspective number four, the study of Madar as a complement or supplement to Torah can be justified on the basis of the fact that the study of Madar is essential for a full understanding of Torah and for the application of the halacha to the numerous and multifarious vicissitudes of life. As the Rambam in his Tshuva to Rabbi Yonos Nakir says in response to the criticism that was leveled against the Rambam that he spent too much time on philosophy and science and all the branches of wisdom. So the Rambam says, it's true that I spent a lot of time, much more time than I wanted, but kulam leikhu milkehu rak leitavoches leifes ulrakoches lito. I spent so much time only as an aid to the Torah. That's perspective number four. Perspective number five, the study of matter as a supplement or complement to Torah can be justified on the basis of the fact that the knowledge of matter in a broad sense is necessary in order that we may talk. Rabbonim, Rosh Yeshiva, professionals should be able to inspire our Jewish brethren as well as our non-Jewish neighbors with the beauty of the Torah. As the Rambam again writes in his letter to Rabbeinu Nachayim, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yedea Shalom Nikhelu Shalom Yilkehu, all these chokhmahs, philosophy and science, all the branches of wisdom were taken by me only as cooks, as bakers, as helpers to the application of Torah, and also kidei lahalei so'amim ve'asorim es yofyo kitei vasmali. I'm quoting the Moshe of Rambam in order to inspire the nations of the world with the beauty that is inherent in the Torah. I think that when the Rambam says lehalei so'amim ve'asorim es yofyo kitei vasmali, the Rambam didn't mean only Gentile nations. Within the category of Amin is included the Jewish nation as well. Even in the days of Rambam it was included. Especially today, when the overwhelming majority of Jews have no idea of the beauty of Torah. So of course, there is a great purpose in learning matter in order to be able to inspire our own brethren with the beauty of the Torah. And sometimes it is necessary to inspire ourselves with the beauty of the Torah. Because, as the Sefer Hasidim says, and remember, the Sefer Hasidim wrote that in the 12th century, when Jews lived in the ghetto, isolated from the Gentiles, still he wrote in those days, in the 12th century, Minag Ayhudim Atila Yeser Tivim Shebehem Ki Minag Hagoyim Shebisechon Yeshu. What should we say? When all of us, without any exception, are exposed to all the vulgar and hostile influences of the environment, we certainly have to be able to inspire not only other people and other nations, but ourselves. If Maadiyah Jews, if Rabbonim, have to inspire themselves with the beauty of the Torah. So these are the five perspectives that I'm going to discuss. Then, also as part of the preface to the Shir, I want to mention that when Rabbi Schechter and Dr. Rotenberg came to me and they asked me to deliver a lecture on Torah and Mado, I agreed. At first, I was unhappy with the expression mother. At first I thought that mother is a modern term. Chochmo is a much better term, because chochmo is a term that appears time and time again. Not only does it appear in Tanakh, it appears in the Torah itself, ki chochmaschem u'dinaschem u'yam, and then in Tanakh, in being, Suvim it appears, and of course in Chazal it appears, and all the Shevim talk about Chochmah. Mado is a new modern term. So we have to define what mother is. Why discuss Torah and mother? Let's discuss Torah and Chochma. I don't like, you know, to be mifalko myself over names, but mother is a new term. But I thought myself, and I decided to do some research on the term mother, whether mother is a modern term, or mother is as old-fashioned a term as chochma. So then I came to the conclusion, after doing a little research, that mother is not a modern term. Modern is just as old as chochma. We find in Tanakh, we find the term mother. Now we find it in two places. In Daniel, Daniel Aleph, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Gimel and Dalet, Vayina Hamelech Leashpinas, Rav Soviso, Lehobim Ibn Yisrael, Mizera Hamucho, Umnapartim, Yelodim Masharim Lehem Kol Yum, ותיבי מרא, ומזכירי בכל חוכמו, ויהי לי דעס ומלביני מעדו, מלביני מעדו, ואשקיע בהם לעמי בהיכל המלך, וללמדון, ספר ושם כזה. So it's mentioned in Daniel. Then it is mentioned in דברי היומים. דברי היומים בייס, פרק, Perek Aleph, Posik or Psukim, Yud, Yudaleth, Yudbeis. So he tells of the prayer made by Shlomo HaMelech to the Ribbono Shel Olam, that the Ribbono Shel Olam should grant him Chochmo Mado. Ato, Chochmo Mada Atemri, Mada. Same word. Shlomo HaMelech used it. It's not a modern term. The Eitzo Lifnei Om Hazeh Vodio Kimi Yishpen Esamcho Hazeh Agar. So Shlomo HaMelech has to the Ribbono Shel Olam Chochmo Umadatem. And it's interesting that he said here it's Mada, the way we pronounce it. Nadavki Avor Asfavit, even Avor Ashkenazit. Because here it's Mada, it's not Mada. Mada, so Shlomo HaMelech asked for Mada. So it's not a modern thing. So in Pasuk in Daniel, so it's mentioned Nebuchadnezzar was the one who had a positive attitude towards Mada. What kind of eye can we deduce from Nebuchadnezzar? Nebuchadnezzar is certainly no Pesik Ador. But here, it is Shlomo HaMelech himself who said to the Ribbono Shel Olam, Ato Chochma Umada Atemri, Ve'itzo Lifnei Yom Hazeh, Vo'obeo Kimi Yishpeit Eshamcha Hazeh Avre. Apparently, Mada is a good thing. It's a blessing, it's a bounty. Vayimer Lekim Mishlomo, Yan Asher Hoso Zoy Yisim Libo Becho, Belishoalto Yisher Nechosim Bichovit, ויש נפש שנחו, וגם יום רבים לשאותו, בתי שלחו, חוכמו ומדו. So that the Rebbono Shel Olam appreciate Shlomo HaMelech's interest in Mada. אשר תשפט עמי, אשר ימלכתיך עולם, החוכמו והמדו נוצמוך, וישר ומחוסים בכבוד אתמוך, אשר לא יקים למוחים, אשר לפניך, So Mada is not in term. It's an old term. It's as old as the Torah itself. It's mentioned in Daniel. It's mentioned in Rayomim. And the Gemara in Brocha says that Nevi'im Ksivim, while they were written years later, but they Baal Peh, the Ur-Bil B'Sinai. So the term Adar is as old as the Torah. And as it appears from the Psukim, in Divrei Hayomim, so Shlomo HaMelech himself had a positive attitude towards Mother. So I don't have to be ashamed of having a positive attitude towards Mother, Shlomo himself. And the Rebbeinu Shalom appreciate Shlomo HaMelech's positive attitude towards Mother. But the question is, what does Mother mean? What does Shlomo HaMelech mean by Mother? So the Malbim says in Divrei Hayomim that Mother means the same thing that it means in Donia. Even though there the interest in Mother was displayed by Muhammad, and here the interest in Mother was displayed by Shlomo HaMelech, but it means the same thing. Now, what does it mean? So the Malbim, I'm quoting from the Lashon of the Malbim. And here, Aleph, Posig Gimel Dalet, Yesh Hevdel Bein Das U'Mada. There is a basic distinction between Das and Mada. Dvorim Tvotim Shemasigim Alvidei Hachushim Vehachino Mikoyim Das. That which is observed through the senses, and Chino he calls actions, things that are perceived axiomatically, without any experiments. So that's called Das. Uklau Hamada, Asher Miskavtso, Al Deyedim Sheinim, Vati Lelimudoruch, Bichol Mini Hanidis, Limpul Moshe, Chochmas Ateva, Beofuo, Bichol Mini Chochmes, Shein Limudoruch, Nikol Mada. So we have the mouth, defines mother, that this means anything that is developed by numerous and numerous people through the accumulation of experimentation and empiricism and deduction is called mother. Mother words. Mother means sciences. The mouth says it. So it's not a new term. And the concept of mother as a supplement to Torah is not an alien concept. It's a concept that is in conformity to Torah. Then, so I decided I'll use the expression Torah man, not Torah man, because it's not a modern expression. It's an ancient expression. It's an expression that is found in the Torah, and it has the same meaning in Torah. And then, there's another reason as to why. At the end, after doing some research, I decided I will not use the expression Torah and Chochmah, but Dafke Torah man. And that is because the Rambam himself, so the first section, first Sefer Yod HaZoko, he called Sefer Amar. And that's the first section. So I like to use the expression Torah and Mada rather than Torah and Chochmah. But I think that the preamble of the Rambam, so we have two preambles in the Rambam. One before the Adome, and one before Hilcha Sisidat here. The Kriyebo before the Agdome is the Posik, Ozle Yebesh, we are Biti al Kol Mitzvisah. And the preamble before Hilcha Sisidat Torah is Mishaykh Chazdecho Leyidecho V'Tzidkoscho Leyishchelet. What's the meaning of these two preambles? Now, every expression in the Rambam, even an expression of a preamble, in a preamble of the Rambam, requires limits. That's Torah itself. So, the preamble of Oslo Yedeish, Be'abiti al kol mitzvisecho, requires an explanation. And the preamble before Yehilchas Yisrei HaTorah, of Mishay Chazdicho Yedecho, requires an explanation. And the addendum of the Rambam, Nishlemu, Hilchas Molochim, Vime Achivo Kulei, Boch Shomar, Vohodo Elon, Bipoteo Bichlole, also requires an explanation. I'll try to explain. I heard from my mother Zechena Levracha, and my mother Zechena Levracha, as many of you know, was a big milomedes. She didn't go to university, but she was a big milomedes, my mother Zechena Levracha. So I heard from my mother Zechena Levracha that there is a basic difference between the approach of the scientist and the approach of the poet. When a poet visits a fast, or a god, a Tibetanical god. So the poet is not interested in each specific detail of the forest, in each specific detail of the garden, in each flower, in each leaf, in each branch, in each root, in each fruit. He is only interested in the overall image of the forest. He's only interested in the overall image of the garden and the expression that comes to his mouth is expressive of the idea expressed in Boch Nafshi. When a scientist visits a garden, a forest, he's not interested in the overall image of the forest, doesn't interest him. He's not attracted by it. It doesn't fire his imagination. It certainly doesn't fire his intellect. He's only interested in each detail. He sees there is a leaf in the forest. There is a leaf in the garden. So he takes one leaf and he cuts it up into little pieces, and he puts the little piece, a fraction of the leaf, under the microscope, and he slides under the microscope. And then he examines it under the microscope, and he sees there's protoplasm, cytoplasm, all kinds of things. He's only interested in the detail, in the plot, not in the plot. The poet is not interested in the plot. He's not concerned about the details. He is only interested in the overall image. This I heard from another. I think it's a brilliant description of the different approaches shown by the scientist on one hand and by the poet on the other hand. Which approach is better? Both are necessary. Both are necessary. And as a matter of fact, the Rambam, at the beginning of Hilches Yisrei HaTorah, so he says, Rambam perveis mi Hilches Yisrei HaTorah, halach alef ubeis, so now alef he says, hokeil hanirvod v'anero mitzvo la'avoi u'giro yisei, shenema v'yohafter Hashem rekecho, v'nema res Hashem rekecho tiro, בחיסתי הדרך לעבי, יש לך בי, בשור שיזבנינו אדום במעשו, ודרור הנפלואים הגדלים, בירה מהן חוכמוסי, שאין להירך ולקיץ, מיד לב ומשבח ומפויר ומסעבה, תו וגדלו, לידע השם הגודל, כמו שאומר דוד, צמאו נפשי ולקים, ושמחשי גוש, וכשמחשי בגבורנו עצמון, מיד המירת על אחירו, ויפחת ויודע שהוא בריאו קטנו, שפלו, אפלו, ונדז בדעס קטנו, מיעוטו, לפני תמין דייס, כמו שאומר דוד, כאלה שומח ומציאס בסכו, יורח וכחול מה שקנונתו, מועל איש כסיס קרני. לפי הדברים האלו אני מבוי הכלולים גדלים, ממעשים ריבים ולומים, כדי שיהיו פסח, למיידים, לאירס השם. כמו שאומרו חכמים, בעניין אבו, שמתרקח אטומקירס משום אבויו. That's in פרק וייס, מלכס יסידה עתירה, הלכאות בייס. Then again, in פרק דלת מלכס יסידה עתירה, בזמן שאודם מזבינים בדבורים אלו, ומאצ'ר כל הברואים, ממלוך בגלגל, ביודם קיי ציבי, בירי חוכמוסי של הקביש ברוך הוא, בכל היצורים, בכל הברואים, ליסיף אבו למוקים ותצפו נפשי, ויחמת צורי לאי ומוקים ברוך הוא, בירי ויפרט משפנוסי ודרוסי וקלוסי, כשיערך עצמי לאחר מהגופי סבי שמדלים, וכל שכנו לאחס מהצורי סטריס הנפרודס, נגלים שלו נסחבו בגלמים כבר, וימצא עצמי שהוא ככלימו לבושו חומו ריק וחוסן. So, from the Lashon HaRambam, at first blush, it appears that Ava Sabere, the mitzvah of Ata Shemur Kecho, involves, implies, an obligation to study nature. And by studying nature, science, natural science, will be able to attain Ava Sabere. How about studying Torah as a medium besides the mitzvah of Gisabin Volaylo? But to study Torah as a medium towards Av Sabir, it doesn't mention. It doesn't mention. But the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvahs, Esse Gimel, he says, Mitzvah Gimel hi shetzivonu v'avose yisale v'ze shenachshe v'mizbeinim v'mitzvayso u'mamoro v'poleiso. עד שנשיגהו בינינו בהסוגוס, בהסוגוסי, בתכליס הענוי, וזוהי סיוע אבו המחויבס, בלושין ספרי לבי שנאמר, ואהבתו ישם ולקחו, אין ידי הכיצדי וסמוקי, how do you love God? תמלי מה והוי לדבורים האלה, אשר עונה לכם מצב חיים על לובכו, שמתרקח התומקירס משום הבאיר. The same מיימה חזל, that the Rambam mentions in Siddhat Torah, but in Siddhat Torah he mentions that in connection with the study of nature, in respect to the Izbeinus, a nature, but in Sefer HaMitzvahs he mentions that primarily in connection with Izbeinus B'teo. He mentions nature too, but first he mentions Izbeinus B'teo. Mitzvah Gimel hi shetzivonu ba'avose yisale vize shenachshei ויזבנים ונצפייסוף וממורוק ופולייסוף. So he mentions פולייסוף, but that's secondary. The primary thing is נחשי ונזבנים ונצפייסוף וממורוק. Then, after he was חישי ונזבנים in the mitzvahs, the ממורי התורו, then it is proper to be נזבנים in nature too. But to be explained in nature, without experience in the Torah, how is it conducive to the law of God? I mean, that seems very reasonable. It's self-evident. Still, the Rambam, in the Siddha Torah, doesn't seem to mention one word about his bitterness and machshavah in Torah. He talks in Yom HaZok about Talmud Torah, Yom HaZok Torah, it's from the point of view of Gisabihim Olayla Vishnan Tolu Vanecho, but from the point of view of the medium thoughts, Abbas HaBeire, in the Seide HaTeiro, he doesn't seem to discuss. So the Kinasofrim mentions that Kash, and then he mentions the Seide HaTeiro, he's been in Bimaso, שמתחכחתו מכירס מי שאומר בהויו אילום, when the Rambam is a mitzvah mentions the Sefri, and the Sefri doesn't mention about his being the place of. Eich yaderech la'avei, the Sefri raises a question, and the answer is, v'hoyu advorim ha'ele, shemitichkach atomakiras mishama v'elom. So how is it that the Rambam yilchazoko makes himself oblivious of that Sefri? Couldn't say he didn't know it. He mentions that in the Sefri mitzvah. So that's the kasha raised by the Kinasov, but it requires an explanation. I think that the Rambam does mention his beings and machshav in the Torah as the first thing that is indispensable towards the attainment of havas aviri. What does he mention? He says, "Veichu hi aderech li'avosei." ויוסי בישור שיזבין אודום במסוב וברוב המקרון. So he says מסוב and ברוב. What is מסוב and what is ברוב? As far as nature is concerned, so all of nature, the whole universe, comes within the expression of ברוב, ברוב המקרון. What's מסוב? What's מסוב? Like Rambam was that type of a person who liked, you know, to use many Shemes HaMedofim, the Rambam, no one can say that the Rambam was indulged in Shemes HaMedofim. The Rambam was so exact and so accurate. There isn't a superfluous word. All of a sudden, he has to say, she's been Odom, be Masav of Naflay. Let him say Maisav of Naflay. Let him say Buav of Naflay. What for the purpose and effect? He was writing a composition in school, so he was interested in emphasizing, by repeating it. That's not the derech of the Rambam. But I'm sure that when the Rambam says be masov, he doesn't have reference to nature. Masov, he has reference to Torah. Be hamichtov maasei alikim, chorus alaluches. So the Torah itself is called maasei alikim. So masov means Torah. Ruach HaNifloim, he means nature. So when the Rambam says, Bishor Sheiz Bein Odom, Bimasov, that's Torah. Ruach HaNifloim, that's nature. So it is in conformity to the Roshna Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvahs. There too he says, Shetzivonu Baavos Yisaleh, Vizeh Shenachshim Biniz Bein, Bimitzvesov Unamoro, Upuleisov. That's Ruach HaNifloim. I'm not the one who says it. The Radak in Yishaya says it in respect to the Posik in Yishaya Perikei Posik Yveis. Voyokina v'neidol tevichol v'yayim Yishayim v'espela v'shem v'yabitum as yodot v'rol. So the Gemara in Shabbos says that kol mishi yochel v'chashim mit kufis mazonis vein mechashin ovo bakos vein meir espela dishem li abitu umas yodof liro umas yodof liro. So that means, if, as the Rambam explains in the Tshuva to the Chachmei Tzeir Talmid Rabbi Ephraim, so they asked him, what's the importance of studying astronomy? So he says, by studying astronomy in nature, so we can attain avas haber. So the Loshna Posik in Yishaya is Espeel Adishem Liyabitu Umas Yodof Liro. So the Radak says V'nikol Asokom V'nishteu V'shmio V'shmias Hanigun V'lo Yisasku V'cholitis Apnai V'divriteiro V'divrichochmo Shein Peel Adishem. So Peel Adishem has reference to Torah. And then ומייס יודוך, ככוסו פרלוכי ססרס הדבורים, ועם כלל לכל המיצה שבנות לחדירי ושבנות למוקי. Because of the posik of ועמיכתוב מסי אלשים חורס הלוכי. Apparently, the Rambam also agreed with the pshat of the Radak, but with one difference. Whereas according to the Radak, so Pira Adishem, as well as מייס ידה, פירה דשם ויאביטו, ומייס יודות לראו, both have preference to Torah, not to nature, according to the Rambam, Maisi Yodofi always reference to Torah. Ramicht of Maisi Elikim, Chorus HaLuchis, but Toyo Adishem Liyabitu. That has reference to nature. But when the Rambam says in Yisei Ateo, in Yisei Ateo, Kisat Yaderach La'avosim Yerosei Bishor Sheiz Beinin Yerodom, Bimas of Ubuav Anifloim Adelim Biyirim En Chochmosei, Shein Noerach Liel Keitz, Miyadu Eiv Umshabeach Umfoyo Umisave, Tavugdei Oleda Hashem Agodeyo. So when he says Bimasov, he means to Vamichtov Masi Alekim Chorus Alaluches Bruav Anifloim. He means nature. But first, in order to attain Avos HaBirei, you have to be Chishif and Mizbeni. Bimaharif Bimamorov Ubi. Then a place, but first it has to be nachshav in his beinim b'mitzvos of mamor. Then a place, but if he starts contemplating upon nature, not without any contemplation into the Torah, without study of the Torah, then it's not conducive to avos HaBirei at all. Mi'onu godel mi'alba taisler. Can anyone claim that he is as great a scientist as Albert Einstein? He is recognized as the greatest scientist in the last centuries, even greater than Newton. Did Albert Einstein attain Avos HaBirei? He did? No. Why not? He didn't study nature. He was ignorant in the study of nature. He was the greatest scientist in hundreds of years. But the study of nature by Albert Einstein was not conducive to Avos HaBirei in any way. In other way, why not? Because it wasn't preceded by Nachshu b'Mizbeinim b'Mitzvesof u'Mamorov. If it is preceded, if the study of nature, of science, of matter is preceded by the study of Torah, then the study of nature, the study not afke natural science, all science, social sciences, humanities, are conducive to Avos HaBirei. We'll soon see. I mean, there are some who feel that only the study of natural science, but I don't agree with them, because many Rishonim mention Sheva Chochmas, the Rav Amiri. Rabbi Nachem Amiri has a pirush on Mishlei. In Mishlei Perik Tes, there is a posik, Chochmos Bonso Beitzo, Beiso, Chotzvo Amudeo Shivo. Wisdom has built a home, and wisdom hewed the home out of seven pillars. So the Miri says this is reference to the Sheva Chochmos. And what? And Miri is not the only one who talks about Sheva. There are many Rishonim who talk about Sheva Chochmas. And what are the Sheva Chochmas according to the Miri and the Rishonim? Even Rabbi Nisneiv Eibeshitz in Yaris Dvash talks about Sheva Chochmas. And he says the same thing that the Miri says in his Perush HaMishlei, except that Rabbi Nisneiv Eibeshitz did not have the Miri's Perush HaMishlei. So Rabbi Nisneiv Eibeshitz in Yaris Dvash, as well as the Rav Miri HaMishlei, say that the candelabrum in the Midrash, with seven areas, with the Neil Ma'arovi being in the middle, and that was the central candle, is symbolic of the Sheva Chochmas. And in the Sheva Chochmas is included Chochmas HaTorah. And the Chochmas HaTorah is symbolized by the Neil Ma'arovi, the central nail, because all the other areas had to be painted, had to be directed towards the Neil Ma'arovi. They had to draw their inspiration from the Neil Marobi. Torah had to be the guiding factor in everything. So that's symbolic of the Shedah Chochmes. And one of the Shedah Chochmes is Chochmes HaTorah. That's the central Chochmes. But the other Chochmes are also Chochmes. They are not the central. They are subordinate, but they are Chochmes. How can one have a negative attitude towards wisdom? It's ridiculous. And the Miri says the same thing. Now, what are the Shedah Chochmes? What does the Shedah Chochmes consist of? So the Shedah Chochmes consists, according to many Rishayim, I think it's probably an arbitrary classification, so, but there's no intrinsic significance in this classification. But arbitrary or not arbitrary, this is the way Rishayim classify it. The Shedah Chochmes consists, one Chochmeh is Chochmas HaTchuna. The other Chochmeh, Chochmeh number two, is Chochmas HaTeva. Why shouldn't the Tchuna be included in Chochmas HaTeva? It's gosh, all right, but anyway. They count, many Rishayim count Tchuna as one Chochmeh and Chochmas HaTeva as a second Chochmeh. And then another Chochmeh is what is called in modern terminology, psychology. The Kirchas HaNefesh, Chochmas HaNefesh. There's the third Chochmeh. The fourth Chochmeh is Balachayim. That is biology. Is the fourth Chochmeh. And then the fifth Chochmeh is music. Now music is not natural science, it's an art. Still, they call it Chochmeh, and it's included in the Sheva Chochmes, and of course, the central Neir, the Neir Marovi, symbolizes Chochmas HaTorah, and one Chochmeh is Chochmeh Rikis, metaphysics about the Rabbeinu Shalom, Shomer, and so on. So these are the seven Chochmes. So, the Meiri and other Rishayim and Rabbinus Neibishitz count music among the Shedah Chochmes. Music is not Chochmes HaTeva. So it seems that the Rishayim did not approve of that basic distinction between Chochmes HaTeva, natural science, and humanities. Music is a Chochmeh. And the Goyen, so the Pasa Shulchan, in the Hagdome to the Pasa Shulchan, he mentions in the name of the Goyen that Kol Chochmeh Yisraelon Nitzchoches Litiroseinu Ukul Isbo Vikasha Yechsale Liodom Yad Achas Bichochmo Ki Yechsale Meir Yodeh Isbiteo. Very sharp expression. I would be afraid to use such an expression. I probably would be criticized. But the Goyen says it, so I'm allowed to quote it. Kasha yechsale liodom yadachas bichochme Yisraelom ken yechsale meyo yodeis beteo. The Goyen says. All right, anyway. So that means that chochmes are not limited only to natural science. They include other branches of wisdom as well. Other branches of wisdom as well. And the Malbim, when he says that with Moshul, Chochmas HaTeva, Chochmas HaFiyah, so he only mentions as a Moshul, as an example, but he doesn't mean to limit it to Chochmas HaTeva and to Chochmas HaFiyah. So Mele, of course, all the Chochmas, whether it's natural science, social science, humanities, even music, and the Goyen says that music is a higher Chochmah than any other Chochmah. Of course, the Goyen did not have reference to rock and roll music. That doesn't exist. And to jazz music. Maybe the Goyen had reference to Moshe Tzamigun. All right, Moshe Tzamigun. But he had reference to music. He didn't have reference to something else. So he might have had reference to Moshe Tzamigun, even though the Goyen was the chief misnagid, but he did not, I'm sure that the Goyen, even though he was the chief misnagid, he did not have a negative attitude towards Moshe Tzamigun. So, but all these chokhmas are conducive to avas habeira, provided they are studied as a supplement to Torah. But if they are not studied as a supplement to Torah, then they are not conducive to avas habeira. On the contrary, many of the scientists were very arrogant. Einstein was probably the greatest scientist in the modern times. But next to Einstein, Planck is considered as one of the leading scientists in modern times. And Planck was a Nazi. He even sent the letter of the Chochem to Albert Einstein. Why Albert Einstein does not submit to the Nazi ideal? Here the chutzpah. But the Rambam says, Kitzat Yaderech Le'Avay, Bishor She'izbinim, Bimaso Fukereso, Miyadu Misavet Tavagdelo. How was he Misavet Planck Tavagdelo, Le'iz Hashem? He was dedicated to Hitler's idea of the German Reich. The answer is, Planck did not study nature. Did not study physics as a supplement or complement to Torah. If nature is studied as a supplement or complement to Torah, then it is conducive to avas habeira. But if it is not studied as a supplement to Torah, then it's conducive to arrogance. Albert Einstein was not arrogant, because Albert Einstein, for some reason, innately was a very ethical person. But otherwise, so that's why he was ethical. So Albert Einstein was an ethical person, and even if Albert Einstein had remained an illiterate person, he still would have been an ethical person, because he was an ethical person. But the genius of Albert Einstein did not promote any morality, any ethics in Albert Einstein. When can the study of nature, science, humanities, and everything, music, be conducive to avas habeira if they are studied as a supplement or complement to Torah? So this is what the Rambam says, Shenachshei b'nizbeinim b'nitzveisof mamor. And it's interesting, the Rambam says, the Shenachshei b'nizbeinim b'nitzveisof mamor v'puleisof. To study Torah and to study nature. Achenasigel. So he said, Nachshid and Nizbein. What is Nachshid and what is Nizbein? So I think that can be explained in conformity to what my mother, Zechen Al-Vorcha, said. There are two approaches. There is the approach of the scientist who takes an interest in the specific, in the detail. And then there is the approach of the poet who is not interested in the specific, in the detail. He is only interested in the overall image. So the same thing is true of Torah too. Because Torah and the universe are all created, our Masih HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Chazal say that Nistakel b'Tirosei u'Boro Asironi. So the Torah represents the moral laws of the universe, even as science is expressive of the physical laws of the universe. So Torah is the manifestation of the moral laws of the universe. And I heard from my father, Zechen Yudvachim, as pshat in the Medrash, Histakil b'tirosei u'boros on it. What does it mean, Histakil b'tirosei? Sholem, being the stut kipshute, what does that mean, Histakil b'tirosei u'boros on it? So Reb Chaim said, we find that the Torah, the principles of the Torah, harmonize with the innate conscience in every human being. Innately, every human being, if he's a civilized human being, I'm not talking about Nazis, I mean, and those who are dedicated to bloodshed, but a decent, every decent human being innately feels that love of fellow man is a good thing. After the Rachamim, the Torah says, "After the Rachamim, brotherly love is a sublime go. And every decent human being feels that bloodshed is the most terrible thing. If somebody sheds blood, he's a fiend. And the Torah also declares that. Glorious for Yehupa, can be gam sheikrei, sheikrei dam odom, odom dom isha. So there is harmony between the principles of the Torah and human nature. Human nature, that's a manifestation of the laws of nature that the Ribbono Shel Olam instilled in the human side. So one could say, when the Ribbono Shel Olam revealed the Torah to the Jewish people from Moshe Rabbeinu, so he molded the Torah in order to conform to the laws of nature, to human nature, to natural law, as modern people call it. So Chaim said, no. So the Midrash tells us, no. Don't think that the reason as to why there is harmony between human nature and the principles of the Torah is because the Ribbono Shel Olam molded the principles of the Torah, the laws of the Torah, in order to that they should conform to human nature. No, it's that way around. Why is human nature that way? Because when the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, when Ribbono Shel Olam created man, so he created the world according to a certain moral pattern. Which moral pattern? The moral pattern of the Torah. And the moral pattern of the Torah declared that categorical imperative, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lead any more life, love thy neighbor as thyself. Because of that, the Ribbono Shel Olam molded the human psyche in accordance with the pattern of the moral law of the universe. But the moral law of the universe preceded the creation of the Torah, of the world. Hatiro kidmo libriyas ho'elom, as Chazal said. So, mimele, so just as there are two approaches in approaching nature, the approach of the scientist and the approach of the poet, the scientist is interested only in the specific, in the detail, not in the overall image. And the poet is not interested in the specific, in the detail. He's only interested in the overall image of the forest, in the overall image of the garden. He's not interested in each specific flower. He doesn't put it under the microscope and separate it into its parts. He is only interested in the flower as a whole. It's beautiful. The flower is beautiful. But if he were to look at it under a microscope, it wouldn't look beautiful at all. It might look ugly to the poet. It looks beautiful when it's not put under the microscope. But under the microscope, I'm not so sure that anyone is impressed with the beauty of his self in the flower. I don't know. I'm not a scientist myself, so I don't know. But I'm not sure that a scientist, when he looks under the microscope, is impressed with the beauty of the flower. Only the overall image is beautiful. So, in respect to the study of the Torah, there are also two approaches. There is the approach that is typical of the scientist. That is the prat, the one who delves into his sugya and realizes it. A certain sugya, he looks up the Rambam, looks up the Rashba, looks up the Ritva, looks up the Ram, and he notices all the difficulties, and he looks up Rav Kveger, he looks up Rav Chaim. That's the scientist approach. And then there is the poet's approach. Those who follow the Chayimi, they're not interested in the specific things, but they get a general notion of the Torah in its entirety. And because of that, one should not underestimate the importance of being involved in Daf Yomi, and one should not underestimate the importance of being involved in the study of a Perek Rambam, three Perekim Rambam a day. I don't know, I mean, how one can study three Perekim Rambam each day. I couldn't do it. But It doesn't matter, one clearing, three clocking, five clocking, 10 clocking a day, something is rubbed off. He gets the poet's impression of the beauty of Torah. So, in studying the Torah, we have to adopt both approaches. We cannot just spend all the years on five gemoras. We have to be involved in the Hayomer Limud also. And but, side by side with the Hayomer Limud, there has to be a Limud bipartite. So, in respect to nature, there is the approach of the scientist who is interested in the prat, not in the cloud. And there is the approach of the poet who is interested in the cloud, not in the prat. In Torah, too, there are the two approaches. So the Rambam begins that, before he begins the Agdome, he mentions the pasuk, Ozle Veish Be'abitiel Komet Visecho. Because he's going to discuss the mitzvah of Havas Abeirei and Kesati Aderech Le'avei Nachshed Mizbenim Mitzvahis of Mamor Bukaleza. So first he says Nachshed and then he says Mizbenim. What's the difference between Nachshed and Mizbenim? Mizbenimus means contemplation upon the overall image of the mitzvah, the overall image of nature. Not a specific thing. Nachshev means machshav. That's the scientist approach. Now, in modern Hebrew, so a computer is called mechashev. Why? Because the computer has the scientist approach. He is as far from being a poet, I mean, even more than I am far from being a poet, the computer. So the computer is called mechashev, not mizbenim. The computer is not misbehaving in any way. He's only mechashiv. So the Rambam says, "Shetivonu ba'avosin misale v'zeh nachshiv misbehaving." The scientist approach, nachshiv, in respect to Torah and in respect to nature. V'misbehaving, the poet's approach, the overall image, v'mitzveisof u'ma'amorov u'poleisof. You cannot attain Havas Abeirei by simply spending all the years, 50 years, by just trying to analyze the same problem of Gemara in five Mesechtes, year after year, or 5 years after 5 years. It has to be coupled, the Biprotei and the Bichlolei, and the study of nature. We cannot attain Havas Abeirei by emphasizing only the scientist approach. We have the scientist approach of an interest in the specific has to go hand in hand with the poet's approach, with an interest in the overall image of nature. So the prat and the cloud, that's the reason is why the Rambam says as the preamble to the Agdome, Ozlei Beish, be a bit of comments. It will be a benefit in the overall image of the Torah. Then one will become inspired to the beauty of the Torah. But it will only be Mechashiv, not his benefit. Then he will not attain Avasapir. And then when he concludes the Rambam, he says, Nishlemu Hilchas Melachim, B'inei Achido Kulei, Boch Shoma, V'hoyo Eilom B'proti U'B'chloi. In order to attain Havas Abeirei, we have to appreciate the prat, the scientist's appreciation, and B'chloi, the poet's appreciation. Just the scientist, not the poet. So then, you will not be able to tell, you will not be able to say, a scientist will never be able to say Moravu Maaseh Hashem. Maybe Albert Einstein was able, because Albert Einstein had a sense for music, he played the violin, so he was able to say Moravu Maaseh Hashem. But not because of his greatness in science was he able to appreciate the overall image of nature. So Boruch She'omar Behoyo Eilom B'Protir B'Chloi. Then when the Rambam begins the mitzvah. Yisida Teres, so the Rambam says, mitzvah se'ese. Yisida Yisides, v'amuda chochmeis, leida she'yesho motzo rishim, v'hu mun amtzi kominzo, v'chol amtzoi mishamayim v'oretz, lo nimtzi o elamiyim tasi motzoi. So it is pointed out why the Rambam become so poetic all of a sudden. Yisida Yisides, v'amuda chochmeis, Leida sheyesho motzo rishen, v'hu mamtzi kol nimtzo, v'chol hanimtzoyim mishamayim v'oretz, lo nimtzi o elamiyim tasi motzoi. So the Mefarshim point out, and of course that's the pshat in the Rambam, because the Rambam says, Yisida Yisides, v'amuda chochmeis, Leida sheyesho motzo rishen. So the mitzvah, so some Mefarshim point out that the mitzvah is not just the money. The mitzvah is yidir. In the Rambam, in Mir Nivuchim, Book 1, Perek Lamed Gimel discusses it. So in other words, if the Rambam writes in Book 1, Perek Lamed Gimel, that if one is capable, he has the mind, he has the intellectual prerequisites for understanding God, B'der HaMeifes, as the Rambam calls it, so then he's mechuyev to do it. So the Rambam uses the Lashon in Yisida Ateo, Yisida 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 Yisachmeis, Leida Sheyein Shom Motzorish, the mitzvah is Yidia, not just the Munet, but Yidia. In Sifra HaMitzvahs he says, Mitzisese Rishenu Shemistabinu Lehamin B'mitzir Sabina. So the Mefarshim point out the apparent discrepancy between the Lashon Rambam in Yisida Ateo, where he emphasizes Yidia, and in Sifra HaMitzvahs where he emphasizes Munet. So Reb Chaim Heller Zechen Lebroche, in his Sifra HaMitzvahs, he translated the Sifra HaMitzvahs from Arabic in you. So there he points out that in the term that the Rambam uses in Sifra HaMitzvahs, which was translated into Lehamin in Arabic, means later also. Now, I'm not disagreeing on Reb Chaim Heller's. I'm just saying Pshat in Reb Chaim Heller's Pshat. Reb Chaim Heller doesn't mean that according to the Rambam, the mitzvah of Anichi Alishem Lekecho is essentially a mitzvah of Yidiyah, not a Mune, but the first translator of the Sefer HaMitzvahs did not translate it correctly. The Rambam himself says in Book 1, Perek Lamed Gimel, that the mitzvah vis-a-vis the average person who is not a philosopher, who is not a scientist, who is not capable, you know, of understanding Mitzias Habere B'derach HaMeifes, so his mitzvah is to be ma'amin, without science, without philosophy. So that's the essential thing. But, Rambam says, if somebody has all the intellectual prerequisites to prove Mitzias Habere B'derach HaMeifes, so that is also included in the mitzvah of Aneich HaLishem HaLekecho. But the primary aspect of Aneich HaLishem HaLekecho is emune. Some mele, in Arabic, the Rambam used the term, the Rambam was very exact and very accurate, as Reb Chaim Heller points out. He used the word in Arabic that means both. It means yidiyah, understanding, scientific understanding, and means emune, faith. And Yidiyah itself also has both meanings. When the Rambam says, Yisida Ateo, Mitzisese Leida Sheyisham Rishe, so it doesn't mean just scientific knowledge. It means Emune and scientific knowledge. It couldn't mean anything else, because Emune by itself, Emune by itself means everything. The Gemara says in Makkos, Tayag mitzvahs nemru l'meishe misinai, bo yishaye ve'midon al sheish, ach bo chavakuk ve'midon al achas, shenema v'itzavig b'minose yichye. What does it mean, chas v'sholem? That yishaye, dobit, I mean chavakuk, almost, they reformed the Torah, they reduced the Torah from 613 commandments to six commandments, to three commandments, to one commandment, chas v'sholem. It's a question, so as the Sefer Yikovim says, it's a question of classification. But the 11 principles mentioned by David, Mizmor LeDavid, are included all Tayag Mitzvahs. Rav Tzadik Goyen wrote a special Sefer in which he points out how all of the Tayag Mitzvahs are embraced within the Aseres HaDibros. So, HaChibuch HaVakuk VeMidor HaLachas Shenema V'Tzadik VeMnosi Yichye. So what does it mean, V'Tzadik VeMnosi Yichye? Tzadik Nosi Yichye, does it mean that only one mitzvah? No. A maimon doesn't mean one who has faith in God. Maimon means one who believes in the Rebbeinu Shalom, believes in the Torah, and is motivated by his faith in God, by his faith in the Torah. What's the term of emunah? Grammatically, it is derived from omein, to train, by yeiminus hadaso. He trained, he raised hadaso. So emunah means training. Emunah means that faith in the Torah motivates my behavior. It determines my behavior. But just naked emunah that doesn't motivate my behavior, does not motivate my behavior, is not emunah. Tzadik b'emunah yichye. He has to live according to his emunah. So the term yediyah itself includes emunah and includes more than emunah. It includes emunah and vis-a-vis a person who has all the intellectual prerequisites, so it includes the element of thinking, of rational thinking, scientific thinking, philosophical thinking. But vis-a-vis an average person, it only means emunah without scientific and philosophical thinking. But it includes the element of behavior. That's why the Rambam, before Hilchas Yisei Ator and the preamble, he mentions the pasuk Ozli Veish Be'abiti Alkol Mitzvisecho, because if a person believes in God, but he doesn't take an overall image of the Torah of all the mitzvahs, of Mitzvahs Asei, Mitzvahs Leis Asei, what kind of Yediyah is it? What does the Novi Yirmiyo say? Koyom Ad Hashem, Al Yisalel Chochom B'Chochmosoi, Val Yisalel Gideo B'Gvosoi, Chimbozois Yisalel Ham Yisalel, Haskil V'Yodei Yisin Umad Hashem, Ki Ani Ad Hashem Oisus Doko Chesed U'Mishpot Boretz, Ki Bo Eila Chafatzti. See, Chimbozois Yisalel Ham Yisalel, Haskil V'Yodei Yisin. So one thing, Haskil V'Yodei Yisin, he knows philosophy, he knows science, I mean, He got a Nobel Prize in science. No. Kimbozois Yisalel HaMisalel Haskel Yadei Sinim Arishem Kam Yad Hashem Oysed Doko V'Cheset U'Mishpot Boretz Kibayil HaFatzdi. Some Mele the Rambam, before he starts with his Yisidah Torah, discussing the mitzvah of Yediyah, which includes Emunah, but it doesn't include only Emunah, it includes dedication to chesed and tzedakah and mishpat, misheich chazdecho liyidecho b'tzidkoscho lishrei. If somebody is not dedicated to chesed and to tzedek, so with all the philosophy that he knows and all the science and all the knowledge of the Torah itself, even if he's a bokim b'shas babel or shalmes safor sefrit sefer, but if he's not dedicated to chesed and to tzedek, if it's not mishei chaz b'chol yidecha v'tzidkos chol yishalei sof batavel, it's no idea. Kim bezeis yisalel hamisalel haskil v'yodei yisi miumad Hashem kani ad Hashem u'yisuzdoko chesed u'mishpot b'oretz ki ba'il chafatzti miumad Hashem. And then after he concludes the Yod HaChazoko, so he says nishli mu'hilchas nuachim v'yimei achi bo kulei boruch shoma v'o yo'elom b'prote u'b'chor. If we want to attain in Avos HaBiyurei, so we have to contemplate in a general way on nature, and contemplate in a general way, and that's the primary thing, Adin Torah, and of course, we have to be mechashiv also. We have to be mechashiv in Proteus on nature, and be mechashiv in Proteus in detail on the Torah. That's the most important thing. Mitzvah Gimel he shetzibonu ba'avosi yisalim. He's a shenachshe b'nizbeinim b'nizveisof u'mamoro u'pereisof achiyas nasigeu b'nene b'asagosei u'vitachlis ha'anot. So this is the end of the so-called psiche to my lecture. So now I'm in dilemma. I don't know what to do. Well, I was given an hour and a half. So it means that I still have 20 minutes. All right? Now, I mentioned briefly the five perspectives. So I think I don't have to discuss in the text itself of the Shir perspective number one, because I think that in the Psiche it was already discussed, perspective number one. Perspective number one consists of the study of Mada as a supplement or complement to Torah. The study of Mada as a supplement or complement to Torah can be justified on the basis of the fact that the study of Mada is necessary as a medium towards the attainment of Avos Haber. Now, perspective number two. The study of Mada as a supplement or complement to Torah can be justified on the basis of the fact that the study of Mada is conducive to Yishuv Eilam or Yishuv Medina, or the upbuilding of the world. What's the mocha for that? Now, there is a Mishnah Novice. Yofet al motor in their hearts. So, many people say their hearts means a job. If it means only a job, so then suppose he has a Yerusha of $1 million, so then he doesn't have to be involved in the Hatz. And what if he has a Shver, a good Shver, who gives him maybe a cast? So then he doesn't have to be also in the Hatz. But Reb Shimshir Rifael Hirsch had another shot in the Hatz. The Hatz, he said, Reb Shimshir Rifael Hirsch, is not limited only to a job, a source of life. That's included in the Hatz. But the Hatz, Reb Shimshir Rifael Hirsch said, means progress, everything that is conducive to the upbuilding of the world. But this is Reb Shimshir Rifael Hirsch's shot. But Reb David Hanogit, the grandson of the Rambam, has a Pirush and Pirkei Avos. I have it in the Maran Kene. So he says the same thing that Reb Shimshir Rifael Hirsch says. That Yofet HaMoteo in the Acharetz means not only a job, that's one element, but it means every endeavor that is conducive to the upbuilding of the world. And of course, the study of all the sciences, whether it's natural sciences or social sciences or humanities, are conducive to the upbuilding of the world. Again, because music is also conducive to the upbuilding of the world, even though all the Jewish historians, so they say that the Rambam had a negative attitude towards music, the Rambam had a negative attitude towards poetry, the Rambam had a negative attitude towards history, the Rambam had a negative attitude towards literature, towards everything. The Rambam only had a positive attitude towards mathematics and science and philosophy. But, like this, he was right. He had no sense for arts, for music, for poetry. It's not true. It's a building in the Rambam. I don't know where they picked it up. From the birds, I suppose, they picked it up. It's not the Rambam Shite. The Rambam, I have it in the Maran Kenes. I don't want, because I only have 50 minutes left, so I can't go over the whole thing. But the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishne, Anobis, Pirikalef Mishne Yudzayim, V'loi Motsosi Kol Yom HaYidalter Nechachomim, V'loi Motsosi Laguf, Yeisa Peid Mishtike. So the Rambam says, briefly, he says, the Dibur And when the Rambam says Dibur, he doesn't mean just talking with the mouth. He means talking with the mouth or with the pen. I mean, and studying Dibur, that's all contained in Dibur. So he says there are several types of Dibur. There is a Dibur HaMitzuveh. Dibur HaMitzuveh is the Dibur like Limud Torah. That's Dibur HaMitzuveh. Or Kriya Shema, Kriya, is Mitzuveh. It's not a Rishus. It's not a Mitzvah Yunus. It's a Mitzvah Yunus. And then there is Dibur HaOser, like Klol and Yibupel, Shehora, and so on, and in the Shekel. And then there is a Dibur that is neutral. It's not Mumos, it's not despicable, it's not Nea, it's just neutral. It's mal neutral, like the talk of most people, you know, talk, this, that, I mean, what kind of apartment I have, how much rent I pay, I mean, it's not necessary to the upbuilding of the world. The world will run its course anyway, without the talk. You know. That's the Dibur that you see, you read in the newspapers and the articles, I mean, and the media and television and radio. So it's not conducive to the upbuilding of the world. And then there is Dibur HaNeav. Dibur HaNeav, it's not imperative, but it's proper. Is Dibur in the Myres Midis Hasich, Myres Hasichlias and Myres Hamidias. In other words, any Shia that discusses the importance of generosity, of chesed, of honesty, of integrity, or any Shia or story that depicts the evil quality of arrogance and so on, he says, is ne'av and should be studied. So when the Rambam mentions something negative against Shira, he has reference, as the Maratz Chaya says, he has reference to vulgar poetry, like the poetry of certain Arabs. In those days he also had pornography and vulgar poetry and vulgar literature, but the Rambam never had reference to good literature. What is the Rambam? The Rambam in his letter to Shmuel ibn Tibben, so he advises him what he should spend his time. So he says he should spend his time on studying Aristotle and studying Plato. He says Plato is very profound. All right, Aristotle is Chokhmas HaTeva, metaphysics, but Plato, Livianius Deity, is more humanistic sciences, the natural science, Plato. So still, the Rambam had a positive attitude, and the Rambam even in his Pirush and Pirkei Avos, he even criticizes certain Jews who had a very peculiar approach. When they hear a certain shir in Arabic, even though the shir is of high caliber because it is expressive of certain shvach, of certain good qualities, or deny of certain evil qualities, so they criticize that person. But if the shir is sung in Rosh HaKodesh, then it's kosher. So he says it doesn't make any difference whether it's in Arabic or Rosh HaKodesh, on the contrary. If the shir is of Dibur HaNimos, so then when it is recited, chanted, or sung in Rosh HaKodesh, it's even more Nimos, because you take such a holy language and you abuse it. So the Rambam never had a negative attitude towards poetry, towards history. He never had such a negative attitude. Anyway, so anything that is conducive to the upbuilding of the world, to the upbuilding of the world, comes within their hearts. As Rav Shimshon Leperher said, the grandson of the Rambam, Rav David Anogit, in his Pirush and Pirkei Avos and the Mishneh of Yofi Talmud Torah in the Acharis, emphasizes that fact. I cannot go over the Lashon of Rav David Anogit, but you look it up so you'll see that he says that explicit. Now, where is the Mokeh? That the study of anything that is conducive to the upbuilding of the world comes within their hearts. So that's a Gemara in Brachas Daf Lamed Hei. Omar Rabbi Shmuel, Yosafto Digonecho Hanig ben mina da has. She odom chir is bishar she bin odom chir she. Vimiteya she bin odom she bin odom leitin. Veidea bishar she bin odom eire. So, hanig ben mina da has. What's the meaning of the has? So again, many people assume that the has here means ijab, panos. But that's a very narrow view of the has. I think that Rav Shimshiri from Hirsch is right, and David Anovi says that, and the Rambam in his Peirush and Pirkei Avos says the same thing. If you delve into it, the Acharetz contains the element of Parnassus, but it's not limited to Parnassus, because what's the expression of the Acharetz? Hanig b'min the Acharetz. Act out the practice of the earth. What kind of a practice does the earth have? What kind of a practice is the earth? The earth doesn't have any practice. So the Gemara should say, Hanig ben minag derav yodo. What the Hanig ben minag derach haaretz? Act out the minag of the earth. What kind of a minag does the earth have? Now, I have a pshat. It's true that this pshat cannot be mentioned according to the Rambam, but it can be mentioned according to the Balamoya. And the view of the Balamoya here is mentioned in the Zohar, Parsh Vayikra, as the Oruch Lenayer and Rosh Hashanah points out. Now, you know, Copernicus, so he said that the sun does not revolve around the earth, but the earth revolves